Well, good evening. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I'm finding victory over my addiction to alcohol, and I'm not Brian, but I am Jack. Good evening. If you were get the email or were looking at the schedule, we had Brian slated to teach tonight, but we switched places. He's going to take the grace lesson in a few weeks, so hopefully we'll get that corrected on the schedule before that gets out to you, and I'm going to take amends tonight, perhaps because I need amends more than I need grace, I don't know, but we'll just go with that. So tonight we are looking at, moving on in our teaching series and looking at the amends lesson, moving into the part of the recovery teaching series where there's a lot of doing, a lot of action. We start out in the recovery process looking at things like denial and powerlessness or hope and sanity and turn and those lessons. And a lot of that is getting our minds and our souls and our hearts kind of in the right place. And that place ultimately is with Jesus. Okay, it is a Christ-centered recovery group. Celebrate Recovery is that. If you're not there yet, that's okay. Most of you know my story. That was me when I walked through those doors. This program, I believe, has things to offer you wherever you are on your faith walk, wherever you are on your recovery walk. But ultimately, we have one higher power. We name him. We call him Jesus Christ in the Celebrate Recovery ministry. And so we get our minds around that. Then we move into the heavy-duty topic of inventory and really coming to grips both with God, with ourselves, and out loud to another person the exact nature of our wrongs. And that's a rigorous process. And the only way we can do that and maintain our sanity is by relying on Christ to do the heavy lifting. We just kind of do our part, which is coming up with the list, thinking of the names, going through our history, and then being submissive to the process of that inventory process. And so now we're at the point of what do we do with that stuff? And amends is one of those what do we do with that stuff kind of lessons. And you have in your service folder or teaching packet tonight this single sheet of paper that says I owe amends to or I need to forgive. Or maybe it's the same person in both areas there. This is just as we're going through the teaching tonight and you're hopefully focusing in and being present on the teaching to be thinking about those in your life that may need to end up on this list. And so give that some thought tonight and as you go forward in your week this week in thinking about this topic and this teaching and this important part of recovery and honestly our walk with Christ. And I started, let me start as we normally do by looking at the principle and the step that are going to kind of frame our discussion tonight. So we're in principle six, and principle six says I'm going to evaluate all my relationships, offer forgiveness, so that's one of the parts of the handout I just talked about, to those who have hurt me and make amends for harm I've done to others. And there's always this qualifier, except when to do so would harm them or others. The beatitude that goes with it, happy are the merciful and happy are the peacemakers, Matthew 5:6. And in step eight, we made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And Luke 6:3 is the scripture that guides us in that, do to others as you would have them do to you. And so amends, so I got to thinking about this idea of amends and how we move from inventory to amends or some of the differences as we kind of go through these stages in recovery. And I remember when we built our house or had our house built, I didn't do it, years ago, right towards the end of construction, they had us go around the house and with blue painter's tape, that tape that you can stick on stuff and peel it off and it doesn't tear off everything, they had us go around and just mark blemishes or imperfections in cabinetry and the sheetrock and baseboards, just in any things that got dinged, didn't get, you know, nailed down right, all that type of stuff. And that was kind of the final thing. And then they were going to go through and fix those things before turning the keys over to us, so to speak. And I think of our inventory is that process of going through our house and taking that painter's tape and marking all of those imperfections, all of those mistakes, all of those things that didn't quite get done right, all those things that maybe, if we're fortunate, we get a do-over at, depending on where things are in our lives. And that's good. And that's important part of the process. But if I'm in that house now, what, 20 some odd years later, if that painter's tape is still up on the walls and none of those things have been dealt with, that's a problem. That's a problem that I have with the builder, and that's a problem that I have in recovery if I've not taken and addressed those issues. So amends is one of the things that we do in our recovery to remove that painter's tape, to start addressing those imperfections, those blemishes, those mistakes in our lives. And so that's where we're going tonight with amends. And so as we typically do in most of our teachings, we've taken the word amends and we've turned that into an acrostic, and you've got blanks in your handout, and I'll give you some verbiage to fill in those blanks as far as how we go through, or some of the things I want you to think about or consider as you go, before you go out and embark on the amends process. Some of us think that's like the end of recovery. I finally get all this list out, and then I just go out and I throw these amends at people and just attack them with amends. And that can be a little bit dicey. You want to be careful with that process. That's why we talk about, unless you would, if this is going to hurt somebody, if this is going to exacerbate a situation, you need to think about whether that's something you want to do. But there's also some things that we want you to guide you before you go out and make this decision of should I make an amends? Can I make an amends? How do I make the amends? Because it's not just walking up to somebody and saying, I owe you an amends, da 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 da. Okay. Sometimes it's how you act or how you behave. Sometimes it's a living amend, okay? And we'll talk a little bit about that as we go on. So let's get into our acrostic tonight. The A in the word amend stands for admit the hurt and the harm. Admit the hurt and the harm. And you're probably thinking, well, we already did this. I did the inventory. That was hurtful and harmful enough. Aren't we done with the hurt and the harm stuff? I'd like to move on now. Okay, where's the happy part? Where's the H in amends, the happy part? And remember, it's going back to my painter's tape example. When we, before we enter into this process, and this is why we start in lesson number one in denial, we typically are in denial. And denial is darkness. Amends is where we start looking at living in the light. Okay? So we need to admit the hurt and the harm just to, once again, to make sure that we're very clear on why we're making amends. Not just because we feel bad, but there's usually specific situations, and our inventory hopefully has honed that for us, honed that to a specific individual, a specific circumstance, that then we can go out and make proper amends. But we need to take ownership. We need to own that hurt and the harm, because if we don't, we have the tendency to creep back into the darkness, to creep back into denial. And that's where then the process goes awry. So we want to, admitting moves us into the light. The enemy wants us in the darkness. Jesus is in the light, and we're all about moving towards Jesus. You know, in the Serenity Prayer, it talks about the courage to change the things I can. And in fact, in some of the earlier versions that I've read from Reinhold Niebuhr, who's the author of the Serenity Prayer, some folks say it was actually written, the courage to change the things that should be changed. And I like that phraseology because, you know, I'm always looking for the workaround, the way out, the easy way, okay? And so when it says to courage to change the things I can, well, then it's real simple for me to say, well, I can't change that. I can't do that. So check that off the list. Well, no, I can do it with the power of the Spirit in me. I can do it with a bit of courage. I can do it, okay? And so I like that idea of changing the things that should be changed. Because Jack will say, I can't do it. But the Spirit's convicting me, saying, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You just need to put your trust and your faith in me and go out in spirit to do this. And you know you should change this thing. Okay? So it's a conviction issue. So making amends takes courage. And I want you to know that, and I want you to not just gloss over that. It does take courage to do this. And so, like a lot of things that take courage, that's going to take some prayer and some meditation with the Lord so that you're in the Spirit when you do this. So as we move on to the M in amends, next thing we want to look at doing after we've admitted, our wrongs is make
a list. Make a list. Luke 6:31 says, treat others as you want them to treat you. So make a list. And then once again, you're thinking, we did this already, that's the inventory. Yes, you did the inventory. But as you go to your amends, because you're not going to necessarily need to make an amends or be able to make an amends for everything in your inventory, all right? So we want to make sure that we're drawing the distinction between the things that I'm going to make living amends. I'm going to change my behavior because I can't make the amends because maybe that person is no longer around in my life, or maybe it's just not healthy or wise or good or hurt or helpful for them. So you're going to make a list of those people that you're going to make those amends to. You need to take, in other words, and convert the inventory into an action plan. Okay, that's the idea here. So it's time to do something about the painter's tape. All right, that's the idea. I had to turn my inventory into kind of a list of four things for people: people that I hurt, people that I harmed, kind of the those folks that I was going to make indirect amends to. So like an entity. I don't know if I shared this with this group. I shared it when I was in the prison. In my former life, I stole stuff, money being one of those things. And this is how cool I was. I stole from money that was going to go to charity. I stole from the food drive proceeds at a place of employment, okay? And coincidentally, all years later in recovery, I'm down at Columbia River Correctional Facility going in to do a step study with the guys in there. And just down the street is the Oregon Food Bank, the folks I stole from all those years earlier. And so the spirit, once again, the courage to change the things I should change, didn't want to part with a couple $100 that I'd stolen years ago and, of course, hadn't saved and it earned interest. It was two new $100 out of my pocket at that time. But the spirit said, you should make an indirect amend. So I walked in and wrote him a check and made a donation to the food bank. Okay, so that would be an example of like an indirect amends that was put on my heart by God. You want to check in with your sponsor after you've made your list, just to kind of run any questions, any situations. You're not sure, how does this look? Those type of things by them. And I'm going to encourage you to certainly pray and meditate on this as well. And one of the areas that is we oftentimes talk about of particular care is those of us that have been involved with sexual impurity, pornography, infidelity, and amends to a loved one, a significant other, a spouse, and get some coaching on that from pastor, from sponsor, from other folks, just how that situation looks, because that can be something that can be done, certainly, but you want to make sure you do it appropriately so that, once again, it's not harming your relationship or not harming them. And then be prepared to make daily inventories, daily lists, daily amends, okay? So just because you've pulled the painter's tape off the wall and you're doing something with it, don't carry an extra roll around with you, okay? Because you're going to continue to find some of those imperfections, some of those blemishes, some of those things that weren't done correctly. And so I just don't get, this is not the end process. This is just giving you a skill to work a recovery ongoing. The E in amends stands for encourage one another. Hebrews 10:24, I think, is the scripture we have for this. It says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Okay? That's one of the reasons we gather every Wednesday night, is to encourage one another in this recovery walk. That's one of the reasons we gather on Sundays at the various houses of worship that we all attend out there, is to encourage one another on our faith walk. Let me share a couple more passages from Scripture on encouragement. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are already doing. And in Ephesians 4:29, it says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So biblical encouragement is more than just words and just cheerleading. Remember, it's in the power of the Spirit that we encourage one another. Okay. channel the Spirit through that encouragement, not just an attaboy. Those are great too, okay? Compliments are wonderful. But as we really go to encourage each other on a deeper level, that encourage that courage that amends takes, okay? fun fact, here we go. The word encouragement in Greek, parakaleo, I believe is what it's how it's pronounced, is used about 105 times in the New Testament alone. And so encouragement is very biblical. And so pay attention to biblical encouragement. I came across a quote, I can't remember from who, and it defined biblical encouragement this way: people who biblically encourage others say with love what a person needs to hear when they need to hear it, even if it isn't what the person wants to hear. So biblical encouragement says with love what a person needs to hear when they need to hear it, even though they may not want to hear it. So it's that mixture of truth and love and wisdom that all comes together with biblical encouragement. That's why I say refer you to Scripture and really look at what are we talking about when we talk about biblical encouragement. And it's just crucial that we balance that. I think I've shared with you before, I tend to default automatically to the truth. I will tell you exactly what's wrong with you without love. Okay, that's one of my character defects. It's one of the things I'm growing on as a person. I have a whole lot of truth and not a lot of love. And in wisdom, I'm kind of getting slowly but surely, and that kind of fleeting in and out of my life. But we're mixing truth, wisdom, and love all together in that triad of biblical truth. So encourage one another. The end is not for them. And this is really a key point, I think, in the amends process. Luke 6:35 says, love your enemies and do good to them. Lend and expect nothing back. So at the end in amends, not for them. It's all about you. And this comes easy to me as a selfish addict, okay, addicted mind kind of guy. So it's all about me, my selfish, narcissistic, prideful brokenness. That's cool. It's not about fixing the situation. It's not about rationalizing the situation, assigning blame, getting even, getting an apology, or even just making everything all right. Okay, it's about the fact of submitting to the process of making the amends, of doing the right thing. Okay, you can't control the output or the outcome from that. And so many times people think that the amends is going to repair everything. It may. It's gone a long way in a lot of my relationships that I had dinged away at over time. But it hasn't fixed everything. And you may get a response that's not the one you're expecting. And again, that can range from everything. I mean, I sat down with my wife because after I was in recovery for a while, I realized I really hadn't sat down and made amends with her. Because she, when I got serious about my sobriety and got serious about my recovery and then found Jesus, that was the bonus on top of that, she all of a sudden reverted back to this woman that I knew years ago because I guess I had kind of done the same thing. And so it was real easy just to move on. And I thought, you know, in preparing for this lesson and preparing for this lesson in the past when I've taught it and going through my step study, I thought, holy moly, I don't think I've really made amends for all, because there's a level that I can get, but I can't understand. Just like she can't understand what it's like to not be able to stop after a glass of wine, I can't understand the pit that I left in her stomach all those nights I left the house and she didn't know what was going to happen. You know, so we probably needed to talk about it. So we sat down and I said, I don't think I've made amends to you. And the response I got was, she said, you're doing it by every day you live the way you live right now. You know, she said, if you go back to the way you lived before, I would probably go back to exactly the way I was before as well. You know, just so you know. But So for her, my living the amends was what was it. And I really didn't know what to expect from that. So it can mean anything like that to someone going, I didn't even notice that. I didn't even, you know, whatever. But once again, doesn't matter. Because my first thing was, oh, they didn't think it was a big deal. They didn't even know. Shoot, I just put myself out there. I didn't have to. No, that's missing the point. It's not for them. It's for me. Because I need to be that kind of person that is sensitive enough, that is aware enough to make that amends, even if it's no big deal, supposedly, to the other person. Because eventually it's going to be a big deal to somebody. And just getting in that habit. So not for them. It's about restoring our hearts and souls back to the way they were created to be. It is not about changing a situation or redoing, you know, something that happened in this mortal world we live in. It's about recalibrating our souls. So it's a deeper, bigger part than what we see on the external part of it. All those things may be benefits. I don't want to knock that. Relationships restored is one of the coolest parts about being in recovery and being in a recovery ministry, because you get bombarded with not only the issues and not only the problems and not only the people that are coming in at the lowest of their low, but you get to hear the success stories. You get to hear the relationships restored, the parents talking to the kids and vice versa, and all that type of stuff. So I don't want to diminish that. But when we talk about making amends, it's really that internal. It's repairing. It's doing that spirit work, that work that we really can't humanly do, but it's so important that is done in our lives. It's about willing to make amends and being obedient to the amends process and leaving the results to God. Okay? Being willing to make amends and being obedient to the amends process. Trusting that He will make all things right if you surrender to His will. Just as it says in the Serenity Prayer. So that's what it's about. The D is do it at the right time. Really important point as well. Make your amends at the right time. Philippians 2:4 says, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Now, I don't know about some of you, and if maybe it's at the other end of the spectrum for those of you that struggle with codependency, but certainly on the addiction end of the spectrum, thinking of others is something that's, you know, as far as the east is from the west, as they say, for a guy like me, okay? And so doing it at the right time is another reminder that it's, even though it's not for them, they are a part of this process. I need to take them into consideration, and I need to take the timing into consideration. So an appropriate time. Okay, and I think you can all kind of, in a general sense, think about it's when there are probably good times to make an amends or bring this topic up, and when there are not. But other than the obvious, you know, pray about it, and pay attention to God's response when you're praying about when would be an appropriate time, and do it that way. Don't give yourself the out of should I do it. Hopefully, you've already come to that decision in some prayer and some conversation with your sponsor. But when there's been a decision, okay, I need to make the amends, then pray about when is the appropriate time to do it. Once again, I always want to try to slip it in, you know, the middle between when somebody's not paying attention. We're at the movies or watching the previews. I throw out the amends, and then the feature starts, and away we go. Okay, nope. Can't do it that way. So when is the appropriate time? But pray about that, and then pay attention to God's response, okay? It's what I come to call pray attention to God, okay? Pray attention. So throw that out there for you. Correct time, correct day. And then also as addition to this, or maybe a more advanced look at this, when we talk about doing it at the right time, that as you begin to walk this walk and incorporate this into your life, doing it at the right time also means amount of time between when you identify with the painter's tape what needs to happen and you pulling it off the wall because you fixed it now. So we shorten the time between offense and amend, if you will. Okay, so doing it at the right time eventually becomes making amends in a timely fashion. Okay, that's one of the big bummers about our inventories, isn't it? We're dragging up stuff from decades ago in some cases, and it gets overwhelming really quickly. I've always said my goal is to never do another inventory again because I just live perfectly, you see. Not there yet. But I can, by making amends, by doing a daily inventory, which we get into later on in the teaching series, by making amends promptly admitting my wrong, one of our steps talks about that, then I find that there's a lot less stress, and you'll find, I think, the times are more appropriate sometimes sooner to the infraction than later. Sometimes it is hard to make an amends to that old girlfriend or boyfriend 32 years ago in high school, you know, even though the spirit is really moving in you and it's something that you should do. So just get in the habit of not only doing it at the right appropriate time, but the right chronological time as far as closer to when whatever happened that needs the amends need to be made for happened. And then finally, the S in amends, start living the promises of recovery. Start living the promises of recovery. Romans 12:18 says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. So start living the promises of the recovery. What are those? Well, there's lots of them. I don't know if they're codified, you know, in a book someplace. Here are the five, you know, promises of recovery. But things like freedom from shame, having healthy boundaries, some of the promises of recovery, gratitude, an attitude of gratitude, serenity. We don't just say the prayer. That's supposed to be how we live. We're supposed to live in a serene state. And of course, a much better looking house without all that blue or green tape stuck all over the walls, okay? I think there's even bigger promises than these, though. And as I reflect, you know, on this idea of amends and amends really being the spirit coming out in words, I guess, I think about the ultimate promises of recovery are the restoration and resurrection that we find in Christ. The restoration of our minds, our bodies, and most importantly, our hearts and souls, which in turn leads to the resurrection back to the person that God created us to be. Redemption. So making amends, as I said, takes some courage. So I ask you tonight, do you have that in you? Do you have the courage to change the things you can, the courage to change the things you should, the courage to walk in the light by admitting those wrongs instead of in denial and in the dark where the enemy wants you, walking in the light with Jesus at your side and the Spirit inside of you, the courage to submit to the amends process, the courage to be willing to this process, and to actually begin to take action, begin to take that tape off the walls, okay, to begin to repair those blemishes. Do you have it in you to start living a restored and new life, to start living the way you already are in God's eyes? I think you do. I think it just takes a little prayer, a little encouragement, and a bit of courage. But I think you do. And that wraps it up tonight. Thank you very much for letting me share.